Now, the second in our series this week on the evolving power structure in Iraq. In the post-Saddam era, Iraq's Shiite Muslims are feeling the power of their numbers. They make up a majority of the population, and Shiite leaders are hoping to use that to their advantage. They're insisting on nationwide elections to choose the members of a provisional assembly. That assembly would in turn appoint a new sovereign government by the end of June. The U.S. civil administrator, Paul Bremer, says elections at this stage are not feasible. He's engaged in a delicate back and forth with the top Shiite religious leader in search of a compromise. NPR's Ivan Watson traveled to the Shiite town of Hilla, south of Baghdad.
This month, several hundred protesters took the stretch of road in front of Hilla's town hall and renamed it Sit-In Street. For the next 2 weeks, they held a peaceful demonstration demanding democracy.
Yes, yes, election!
Yes, yes, election!
The sit-in took place under the watchful eyes of U.S. and Polish soldiers, who paced back and forth behind the barbed wire and concrete barriers that surround town hall. Jabar Zahir Khadam said the protest was against the U.S. appointment of officials to posts in the local government.
We want, yes, the people themselves to assign a mayor. Not corrupted, not dishonest. We want him from the people of Hilla. We know every man, we know every woman in Hilla, and we can decide who is the best for us. Why do you assign somebody who is best to yourselves? Why don't you elect him from the people?
In the end, the demonstrators succeeded in forcing the resignation of the U.S.-appointed provincial official. This was a startling show of force for a Shiite Muslim community that was long persecuted by the former government. There is a mass grave site on the outskirts of Hilla where residents believe many of their loved ones were buried after they were arrested and executed by Saddam Hussein's regime. In fact, throughout Iraq's history, the Shiite majority has traditionally been dominated by governments in Baghdad that consisted mostly of Sunni Muslims.
There is a chance now that the Shia may take the part of their rights, if you like.
Mawafiq el-Rubai is a Shiite member of the Iraqi Governing Council who spent years in Saddam's prisons. He believes through the power of their numbers, the Shia finally have a chance to win a say in the future of Iraq.
To the large extent, Shia were persecuted, Shia was kept isolated and excluded from the higher authorities, and they feel now, they feel that they have to have their share in the cake, if you like.
The Shia are already experiencing a rebirth in the holy city of Najaf. Thousands of pilgrims, most of them fellow Shia from neighboring Iran, stream in daily to visit the shrine of Imam Ali, which still bears the scars of last August's car bomb, which killed more than 80 people, as well as a prominent Shiite Ayatollah. The post-war boom in religious tourism here has helped launch numerous construction projects, including what will soon be the new Qasim Hotel. Student enrollment is booming at Najaf's many religious seminaries. Ayatollah Ali Sistani is considered the spiritual leader of Iraq's Shia. Not long after Saddam's overthrow, Sistani issued a religious decree demanding future democratic elections. He and his followers appear to have rejected the model of Islamic theocracy in neighboring Iran. Sheikh Ali al-Najafi is a spokesman for Najaf's senior religious leaders.
In fact, the elections issue is a little bit complicated because from the Islamic point of view, Prophet Muhammad preferred appointing some people who are qualified for that position. But nowadays, it's hard to find a perfect person. They are not prophets, they are not messengers from the God. So we prefer elections to be approved by all Iraqis. So the person who will be the president or responsible for administrating Iraq will be elected by all Iraqis. And that, I believe, very comfortable for Iraqis.
The problem is the U.S. occupation authority says Iraq doesn't have an accurate census or adequate infrastructure for organizing a direct nationwide vote. Consequently, the American civil administrator, Paul Bremer, has argued for a series of regional caucuses, which would appoint the members of a provisional assembly. Sistani's insistence on direct elections has complicated ongoing negotiations between Bremer and the Iraqi Governing Council. Mowafiq al-Rubai, a council member who has been acting as one of Bremer's go-betweens with Sistani, says the Ayatollah may be approaching a compromise.
He's asking for direct general election. He may agree on a partial election, but more managed, with the candidates are more meticulously vetted. Because if the worry that the extremists will prevail in the election because they are strong and vocal and well organized, although they are a tiny minority, then let's manage that election to exclude these extremists.
Al-Rubai is almost certainly referring to Muqtada al-Sadr. Last summer, this firebrand son of a murdered senior Ayatollah rallied thousands of angry young supporters with his anti-American sermons. But Sadr has toned down his rhetoric in recent months, and for now, Ayatollah Sistani remains the most influential voice for the Shia and one of the most powerful figures in all of Iraq. Ivan Watson, NPR News.